Welcome to Living Word. You're about to hear a life-changing teaching designed to challenge you to discover your mission in life, develop your potential, and deploy your talents and skills for a more fulfilling life. Now, prepare to receive the ministry of Dr. Mensah Otterbill, Senior Pastor of the International Central Gospel Church.
Well, I just want to bring us a word of encouragement today as we deal with life. And I cannot pretend to be ignorant of the fact that there is some pressure on our national economy, and as a result, people are feeling the pressure individually. There is a lot of difficulty people are facing. And when people face those difficulties, they come to church. And we have to help people to focus properly in times of difficulty. So my message today is titled, How to Stay Strong When You Feel Weak. How to Stay Strong When You Feel Weak. How do we do that? And how do we rise up when we feel down? When life is beating up on you, when there is pressure around you, there is difficulty around you, there are tough times and you're going through tough times, where do you find your strength? And how do you find strength and how do you survive? I believe that in every critical situation, God has a way to help his people to overcome. And I believe you will overcome in this time and in this season. You will not be a victim of circumstances. You'll rise and you'll be a champion for God. And so I'm going to focus my message today on an experience that David had before he was king. As you know, that David, before he was king, was persecuted by the king of Israel, King Saul. So David spent much of his time outside of Israel, running away from Saul. Eventually, he found refuge among the Philistines, which is quite an irony because he was the one who killed Goliath. But the Philistines accommodated him and sometimes hoped that he would help them to defeat the Israelites. David pitched his camp in a Philistine territory in a place called Ziklag. And in that place, he led his army or his team to go out on military campaigns and come back. So they will move from Ziklag and then they will come back to Ziklag. And that was the routine at that time. On one occasion, they returned from their military campaigns and realized that the base camp in Ziklag had been attacked. And there was huge disquiet in the camp of the Israelites. So we're going to take the story from 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verses 1 to 8. 1 Samuel chapter 30 verses 1 to 8. And we read these words. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Amen. This was quite a difficult moment for David's team. The army goes out, they fight, and they come back. And I would suppose that in the process of fighting, some of them die. So they've gone on a military campaign. We're not told how the campaign went. Maybe some of them had died, they had suffered casualties, they have gone through difficulties, and now they are coming home, hoping to be welcomed home by their wives and their children, and be at home for a while, refresh themselves, renew their strength, and go back. And as they're coming back home, they look out there, and they see smoke coming from their camp. They enter the camp, and everything is burnt. Their tents are burnt, the property is burnt, goods burnt, and not only that, their wives had been taken captive, kidnapped, and the children also taken. So they came to meet an empty camp with disaster. And the verse 4 says that both David and the people lifted up their voices and wept. Now, these are soldiers weeping. When soldiers weep, it's tough. Men weeping. And the Bible says they wept until they had no more power to weep. That means they exhausted themselves with weeping. They're really traumatized. But after they had wept, they began to have different responses to what was happening. There are two of them I want you to notice. The Bible says that the people were grieved. The people were grieved. The word that is translated as grieved means to be embittered or to be provoked. So not only were they weeping, but they became very bitter and felt provoked, angry. Now, it's obvious that their anger was not against themselves, but it was against David. David is the king. And so the bitterness of the people, the anger of the people, the frustration of the people is towards David. Instead of being angry at the Amalekites, they are angry at David. They are grieved. So that is the first response of the people. They are a grieved people. They are bitter. They are angry. They are upset. And they really want to hit David. And the Bible says they thought of stoning him. They thought of killing David. Then we see David's own response. And the Bible says that David was greatly distressed. Greatly distressed. The people were grieved. David was distressed. Two different responses. The people were grieved. David was not grieved. David was distressed. That word that is translated distressed means to be in a narrow place and to feel pressed in. So the people were bitter and angry, and David felt under pressure. And obviously, David's distress was because of the people's grief. David was not bitter. He was not provoked against the people. He was feeling distressed. David was pressed in. That means that he was not given space to maneuver. So he didn't know where to turn. He didn't know how to answer. He didn't know how to defend himself. He was pressed in. Nothing could work. Now remember, David himself had lost his family, but now he's also lost his team, his army. So what do you do when you feel pressed, under pressure, distress, narrow space? You don't have space for maneuver. Now normally in life, when you have a problem, but you know what to do, it's easy for you. There are options, there are opportunities, there are different things you can do. But when you feel like David feels, distressed, pressed, narrow, your options are very, very limited. And there are times in our lives when we also feel distressed, when your options are very narrow. You don't have much room to maneuver. You don't have too many opportunities in front of you. You don't have too many people encouraging you. Everything is gone bad. And in David's case, the people closest to him are now thinking of stoning him. I want to relate that to what I think some of you may be going through. Some of you have businesses that are distressed. Some of you, your finances have become very, very distressed in the last few months. And you don't know where to turn. Because you keep hearing bad news to bad news to bad news. Your Ziklag has been burnt. For some of you, your Ziklag is your business. And you don't know where to turn. You don't know where to bring in money to feed the children. They've been taken captive, in a sense. Families in distress. And you don't really know where to turn. So this is the state of David. Now, if we were there, probably our eyes will all be on David. What is he going to do? Because when you are a father or a mother, and there is a problem, your children look up to you. There's nothing more annoying than when your children are looking up to you and you don't know where to look. Because they believe you have the answer and you don't have any answer. There's distress, there's pressure. So we're going to look at David and how he related. We're going to look at what I call David's focus in this time of distress. And I believe we can learn lessons from him to help us deal with our present distress. David had three kinds of focus. The first one is what I call the inward focus. The Bible says David strengthened himself. He started by looking at himself, into himself. Something had happened outside him. His camp has been ransacked. His family has been kidnapped. So outside, everything was wrong. The only place he could look at this point is inside. He had to look inside. He went into himself to find the solution. The Bible says he strengthened himself, not the people, but himself. David realized that keeping his focus on what is happening around him was going to demoralize him. So he had to go inside, strengthen himself. And that's a very important lesson. That when there is distress around you, you have to focus within you. There is something in you that must respond to what is outside you. Because if you don't find strength within you, what is outside you is going to consume you. David strengthened himself. Somebody say, I will strengthen myself. Or say it one more time. Say, I will strengthen myself. I can imagine if some of you are in import and export business with what is happening to the city. I can dread what is happening to your business. There is distress. But you have to understand you must survive. And if you're going to survive, there has to be a strategy. And the strategy is what David is showing us. If there is pressure on the outside, you focus on what is within you. David strengthened himself. Tell somebody, strengthen yourself. Now, how did David strengthen himself? And how do we stop? How do we strengthen ourselves? Two ways. If we're going to strengthen ourselves, we have to stop the negativity. You have to stop the negativity. You can't stop people from being negative, but you can stop yourself from allowing the external negativity to contaminate you. You cannot stop the negativity in the larger Ghanaian economy. I'm not sure where the city is going to end up. I don't know. I'm not a prophet. But it doesn't look good. It may get worse. We hope it doesn't. We wish it doesn't. We pray it doesn't. But it may. Because the city has a mind of its own. So, there is going to be negativity. There is stress. And you're going to hear a lot of things that will depress you. So the first step to strengthening yourself is that you have to stop the negativity. You can't stop what is happening outside, but you can stop its impact on you. You strengthen yourself by shutting your spirit to what is happening outside you. To stop the negativity, you have to stop exposing your mind to the source of distress. You have to be very selective about how you listen to the news. Very selective. I'm not saying that ignore reality. What I'm saying is be very selective. Because when everything you hear depresses you, you have to do something about it. But that's not all. You have to also, in stopping the negativity, separate yourself for a personal time with God. This is a time to really focus on God. Stay in the Word. Go on a retreat. Go spend some time praying. Because in the midst of all that is happening, you have to strengthen yourself. And our source of strength is Jehovah. Stop the negativity. Secondly, in order to strengthen yourself, you have to settle your heart. You have to settle your heart. That's very important. Settle your heart. Listen to what Jesus said his disciples should do when they are faced with trouble on every side. In Luke chapter 21, verse 16 to 19, this is Jesus speaking to us. He says, you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head will be lost. And verse 19, he says, by your patience, possess your souls. Luke 21, 19. By your patience, possess your souls. By your patience, possess your souls. What Jesus is saying is when all these things are going on around you, you have to take charge of your heart. You have to possess your souls. You don't have to allow your fear to possess your soul. You don't allow threats and intimidation to possess your soul. You don't allow the news media to possess your soul. You don't allow rumors to possess your soul. You possess your souls. You have to take charge. You are going to say to your soul, soul, you will not be bowed down. Soul, you will not be crushed. In this situation, I will not be crushed. I will not be a victim. I will not be down. I will not be destroyed. You have to possess your soul. Because if you don't possess your soul, something else is going to possess your soul. And for many of us, our souls are possessed with fear. Some of us, our souls are possessed with hatred, bitterness, which is not bad. It's good to be angry once in a while. But when the anger becomes fruitless, You have to start re-strategizing. And Jesus says, by patience, don't be hasty. Don't be in a rush when you're in a crisis. Don't be in a rush. Don't be hasty. Be patient. Take your time and possess your souls. And he says, you have to do it. You're going to take charge of your soul because you're going to hear so many things around you that will harm you. So that is the first thing. We look inward. But David did not just look inward. He had a second focus, which is what I call the upward focus. The upward focus. David did not just strengthen himself. The Bible says he strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. So he didn't just look into himself. He also looked up to God. The upward focus. Our strength is not in ourselves. Our strength is in the Lord. You're going to strengthen yourself in the Lord your God. I like how Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 puts it. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. If the Ghanaian economy is not strong, you be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Our strength is not in a good economy. Our strength is in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The power of the might of God is what will cause a widow in a time of national crisis and famine to be fed with her family whilst kings are in starvation. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There is power in the Lord. Upward focus. When we look within ourselves, we might find something that is greater than ourselves. When we look within ourselves, we must see someone greater. We must find the Holy Spirit. We must find Jesus. We must find Almighty God. Now, we're not told how David strengthened himself, but Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if David strengthened himself in the Lord, I will assume that in the midst of the sadness around him, he created an internal joy. He possessed his soul. So how do you do that? How do you become strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? You do that when you speak God's word to yourself. You speak God's word to yourself. If you don't know any Bible verse, this is the time to read the Bible. I'm telling you, go and read the Bible. And begin to quote the scripture to yourself. Speak it to yourself. Speak it to yourself. Strengthen yourself. Look up to God and let his word begin to quicken your spirit. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 says, let the word of the Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. If you want to focus on God, you have to let his word bubble in your spirit. The word of the Lord bubble in your spirit. Have you noticed when everything is going bad and you begin to talk the scripture to yourself and talk it to yourself and talk it to yourself and talk it to yourself, all of a sudden, new strength rises from the inside of you. Because if you're going to defeat what is out there, you have to have strength in here. David had an upward focus. He was focusing not just on himself, but in the Lord his God. You have to speak to yourself. You have to sing the word of the Lord to yourself. Not every so-called Christian song is good in this time. There are songs that will depress you the more. But you have to look for songs that affirm the power of God, that speak of the victory of God, that promises you victory in the end, songs that uplift your spirit and allow your upward focus to quicken you so you can deal with that thing which is out there. Because I have every confidence that although it's bad out there, it will be good in here. I said, although it is bad out there, it will be good in here. Because we have an ammo, we have a weapon, we have a means of dealing with what is going on out there. You will not perish, you will not be a casualty, you will not be a disaster, you will not be a disgrace, you will not be a reproach. You will not be behind. Because we know how to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Speak God's word to yourself. To have an upward focus, you have to stay your mind on the Lord. To strengthen yourself in the Lord, you have to keep your mind on the Lord. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Keep your mind on the Lord. The third focus that David had is what I call the forward focus. So he had an inward focus, an upward focus, and a forward focus. Inward focus, he strengthened himself. Upward focus, in the Lord his God. Forward focus. After the people are grieved, David is distressed. David strengthens himself in the Lord, and he speaks to Abiathar the priest and says, bring the effort. And he begins to ask God a question. And look at the question he asked God. Shall I pursue this troop? Will I overtake? Will I recover? Shall I pursue this troop? This is the first question David is asking God after all that has gone wrong. Now let's face it. If you had chance to ask God after so much has gone wrong in your life, is that what you ask God? You ask God, why? Why me? Why is this going on? Oh Lord my God, you have abandoned me. Why? Why? I have saved you. I have tithed. I have offered. I have given. I have done all the right things. Why, Lord? But David didn't ask why. He didn't ask, why did my wife get taken away and my children got taken away? Why was my business burned? Why is my city burned? Why do the people want to stone me? He says, God, should I go ahead? And if I go, will I win? So in the midst of all this crisis, David is not thinking about how to go back. He had a forward focus. I want to charge you today. You are going to have a forward focus. You are going to have a forward focus. It's not about what went wrong. It's about what God is going to do in your future. A forward focus. Should I pursue? Will I overtake? Will I recover? To have a forward focus, you have to set your sights ahead. You have to look forward. Look to the next step forward, not the next step backwards. Looking backwards is always a temptation. Blaming somebody is always a temptation. But we have to look forward. Set your sights ahead. Somebody say, I'm going to pursue my dream. To set your sight forward, you have to see a future turnaround. A future turnaround. David did not just want to move ahead. He wanted a turnaround. Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And God answered him and said, pursue. For you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Pursue. For you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Pursue. For you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Pursue. For you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. I hear God saying the same word to you today. Pursue. For you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Pursue. So one business got burnt, but you're going to pursue another one. Something was lost, but you're going to pursue something else. You're not going to sit here and mourn for the rest of your life. The camp is burnt. Yes, it's burnt, but you will pursue and there will be a greater opportunity for you. You're going to pursue. You're going to overtake. You're going to recover. If you didn't hear anything at all this morning, this is the word God speaks to you. You're going to pursue. You're going to overtake. You're going to recover. It's a forward vision. As to what burnt the camp and why it got burnt, we will analyze it later. But in this crisis, it is pursuing and overtaking and recovering. Because in every difficult situation that you find yourself in, there is always, always a way of escape. Always. So, let's move on. Two passages I want to bring to your attention today. The first is in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. And the second one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Now, sometimes when the Bible says some things, you want to get angry at the scripture. My strength is small. Do you know what I'm faced? Do you know the difficulty? You're telling my strength is small. But thank God I didn't write the Bible. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So, if you don't want to faint in the day of adversity, you have to boost up your strength. To properly correlate that verse, we have to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So if you're going through difficulty, this is your mindset. Four things I want to bring to your attention. You have to say to yourself, what I'm going through is common. Our hardships are not unique to us. Many have gone through what you're going through. Many have suffered what you have suffered. It helps to keep your difficulties in perspective. It's common. It's not me alone. It's common. So many people have gone through what you have gone through. And people have gone through worse of what you're going through. There's a story about a man, I think I've told it before, who was always complaining about his cross. That his cross was too heavy, his burden was too heavy, his problems were too much. And so he complained and complained and complained and complained, my cross, my heavy burden, life is hard, my cross. So one day, God says, okay, I've heard your prayer, I'm going to help you. So God says, I'll take your cross. And God took him to a room. And in the room were many crosses. So he says, now that I've taken your cross, you can exchange and take another cross. So in this room, he saw crosses. Some were big crosses. Some were crosses with nails on them, crosses with thorns, crosses with blades on them. These were dangerous crosses. Some were metal crosses, and lots of crosses in this room. And so he looks at the big cross. He says, no, I'm not going to take that cross. I'm not going to take that metal. I won't take that cross with thorns on it. So he sees in the corner a very small cross, very tiny one. So he heaves a sigh of relief. Ah, now I've found something I can carry. He picks the cross and he tells God, this is the cross I can carry. God says to him, that was the cross I took from you. Your problem, you think, is so big. Put it in perspective. It's not the worst case scenario in the world. Thank God you live in Ghana and not some other country. I won't mention any country, but you can imagine. Yes, it's difficult, but it is not the worst case scenario. So if you want to overcome, don't magnify your problem beyond its size. The Bible says you have to look at your problem and say it's common. Yes, the city is gyrating. It shouldn't happen, but it happens. It happens. So what I'm going through is common. The second mindset you should have is, what I'm going through is not beyond me. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond your capacity. God knows your capacity. He knows your frame. He knows what he has invested in you. And he knows what you can handle. That's what the story of Job tells us. Whatever Job was going through, he could handle. God actually believed Job could handle it. It's like going to take a test or an exam. Sometimes you look at the exam, questing, and it looks very frightening and intimidating. But whatever is on the paper is what you've been taught. Assuming you went for classes. But it's in the syllabus. The question looks frightening, but it's in the syllabus. And you know, when I was in secondary school, I was terrible with mathematics. Terrible. I believe that the devil invented that course. So I used to complain about mathematics. Every mathematics problem was difficult for me. My mind couldn't handle it. But there were other people in my class, you know, who could just rattle the thing. I mean, they are multiplying X and Y and doing all these signs on the paper. I said, how does your brain work? So I remember I had a problem once in mathematics, and I went to the mathematics teacher. And I said, sir, the question is wrong. I said, the question is wrong. He said, Otabe, why do you say that? I said, I've worked it. I'm not getting the answer. The question is wrong. You have to check the book. Now, this question was in a maths book. So he said, the question is not wrong. I said, the question is wrong. So he called another student. And he says, okay, let's see how you answer. This guy has worked out the answer. He has the answer. So the teacher said, the question is not wrong. He says, the problem is your maths. Your mathematics is weak. It's not a wrong question. If you fail in the time of adversity, it's not the problem of adversity. Your strength is weak. God will not allow you to go through a situation you can't handle. If you say, I can't handle it, it's not God's problem. It's because your strength is weak. And you have to build your strength. And that's what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What you're going through is not beyond you. The third thing is that there is always a way out of the problem. There is a way out. But with every temptation, we'll make a way of escape. There is a solution somewhere. It's not a dead end. There is a solution. There is a plan. There is a strategy. There is something out there to get you out. But if you keep your minds on the burnt city and the people who have been taken captive, you will never see the way forward. The reason people can't see the way forward is because they keep their minds occupied by what has gone wrong. But there is a way of escape. As bad as you think your situation is, there is a way of escape. And if you keep your minds on the Lord, pretty soon a new pattern will begin to emerge for you to get you out of that mess. There is no mess that you can't make a message out of. When you go through the valley of the shadow of death, He is with you. It's not bigger than you. You are actually bigger than it. And the fourth lesson we learn is that throughout whatever we go through, God remains faithful at all times. God is God at all times. He's there at all times. His presence is there at all times. He will supply you His direction. He'll give you wisdom. God is faithful. If there is one thing I've learned in life, is that God is faithful. 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 He's a faithful God. You can't serve Him and lose. You can't serve Him and be disappointed. You can't serve Him and be disgraced. God is faithful. For a moment, you will go through the valley of the shadow of death, but God is faithful. His rod and staff will comfort you. He is faithful. He'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. God is faithful. You have to get that. I can't predict what will happen in Ghana to our economy. I can't. I don't even want to exercise my mind there. It's not within my control. But I am within my control. So I can encourage myself. I can look up to God. I can look for the way of escape. I can trust God to cause me to pursue, to overtake, and to recover all. I can trust God. I may not trust government, but I trust God. I may not trust the city, but I trust God. I may not trust the economy, but I trust God. And let's stop putting our trust in man and start putting our trust where it must be, in the Lord God Jehovah. Let God be true and every man a liar. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. He will see you through. I say He will see you through. You will pull through. When everybody is down, you will be up. When people are hungry, you will have food. When people are losing everything, God will supply all your need. When the enemy has come against you and burnt what you have, God will cause you to pursue, to overtake, and to recover everything. God is faithful. We serve a faithful God. We serve a faithful God. We serve a faithful God. And this morning, I want us, just before we close, to spend a minute or two before God. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how the economy is affecting you, but I want you to keep your eyes on the Lord. And I want you to strengthen yourself in the Lord. And I want you to begin to see the future, that it's better than the past. Are you ready for that? Let's begin to talk to God. Let's talk to God. Rise up, everybody. Rise up. Let's pray for a minute or two. Before we close, we're going to do some spiritual warfare this morning. We're pressing out. You will not be a victim. You will not be depressed. You will not be a disgrace. This is going to be the greatest year of your life, the greatest moment of your life. This is going to be the best business opportunity you are having. There is a way of escape coming. There is a way of escape coming. There is a way of escape coming. Lift up your hands to heaven and let's begin to talk to God. Thank you, Lord. You are our strength. You are our shield. You are our hope. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for victory. Thank you for victory. Thank you for the way of escape. Thank you for opportunity. Thank you, Lord, that we will recover everything. We will recover everything. In the name of Jesus, we refuse to be grieved. We refuse to become victims. We refuse to bow down. We refuse to go down. We're going up. We're rising up with the head and not the tail. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Begin to speak to heaven. Begin to speak to heaven. Begin to speak to the future. You're going to pursue it. You're going to pursue. You're going to overtake. You will recover. Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Look at everything that is lost and begin to prophesy to that which is lost and say, I will recover you. I will recover you. I will pursue. I will overtake. I will recover. I will pursue. I will overtake. I will recover. I will overtake. I will recover. Yes, 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 yes. I will recover. I will recover. There is going to be a way of escape. There's wisdom. There's strategy. There's opportunity. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What you see is what you possess. What you see is what you possess. See with the eye of the Spirit. What you see is what you possess. What you see is what you possess. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. What you see is what you possess. There's going to be a recovery. There is a recovery coming into your life. There is a recovery coming into your life. There is a recovery coming into your life. There is a recovery coming into your business. Ziklag is burnt, but there will be a recovery. There will be a recovery. Ziklag is burnt, but there will be a recovery. Ziklag is burnt, but there will be a recovery. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, I stand in agreement with my flock, and I decree over this flock that in this present difficulty, this flock will overcome. Amen. This flock will win. Amen. I speak to this flock as David spoke to his flock, that they will pursue. Amen. They will overtake. And they will recover. I speak a spirit of overtaking upon you. I speak a spirit of recovery upon you. In the name of Jesus, I declare to this flock, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with your family. It will be well with your business. It will be well with your finances. I speak it into your life. In the name of Jesus. From this day, may the way of escape be clear before you. The way of escape will be clear before you. And God will show you the next step to take to recover that which the enemy has taken from you. In Jesus' name we pray. And somebody shout, amen. Say amen. Say, I'm recovering. I am recovering. I am recovering in Jesus' name. Go to three people and make that announcement to them and tell them you will recover all. 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 In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Welcome to Living Word. You're about to hear a life-changing teaching designed to challenge you to discover your mission in life, develop your potential, and deploy your talents and skills for a more fulfilling life. Now, prepare to receive the ministry of Dr. Mensah Otterville, Senior Pastor of the International Central Gospel Church.